T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The first charge is felony murder. This is a death that is as a result of an underlying felony. And in this case, the underlying felony is aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And the possible sentences for a felony murder conviction would be life without parole, or the death penalty. Now, he's also charged in the arrest warrant with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And this is a count charging him for the shooting of Mr. Brooks. And the possible sentence for aggravated assault is 1 to 20 years. The third aggravated assault account is for the shooting towards or in the direction of Mr. Melvin Evans. Mr. Evans was the person who was seated in the car. We have the picture of him. And if you would point out, this automobile is the place that Mr. Evans and his two companions were driving. And a shot was fired.
Okay. The list of charges are long. District Attorney Paul Howard is urging both of these men to turn themselves in by 6 p.m. today. He's also recommending Roth be denied bond, which is typical for a murder charge, and asking for Bronson to be granted a $50,000 bond. He has the lesser of the two charges. District Attorney Paul Howard is on the program. Good day. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your theory of the crime. You have charged both of these men with multiple crimes. You are seeking, or you have an arrest warrant, but you will still have to get an indictment. Explain that process to the listeners.
Generally, what happens under our criminal justice process is that when a crime takes place, the police department would, within a short matter of time, issue or cause to be issued arrest warrants for that defender or offender. When that happens, then the case is sent to the DA's office. We would review it, and then we would make a decision as to whether or not we would present it to a grand jury. So in the process that has happened traditionally with police, there has been an investigation when there's a death conducted by the GBI. And the GBI does not make recommendations regarding arrests or convictions. So what would generally happen is that the case would simply sit there until the GBI finished the investigation, and generally that takes about 3 months. It's clear now that the public is saying that we don't like that, but that's not the way it should go. So what happened in this case is that because of the videos that we received, the DA's office was actually able to reach a conclusion in a much quicker fashion than before. And so rather than waiting for an indictment, we asked the Superior Court to issue arrest warrants. And that's what happened on yesterday. The arrest warrants were issued, but before they could be formally charged, right now in the Georgia law, we have to wait until a grand jury is convened, and then the case would be presented to a grand jury.
What happens if they do not turn themselves in by 6 p.m. today?
Then, according to the law, the sheriff and any associated law enforcement officials will then be obligated to go out and capture them and bring them into the Fulton County jail.
You said something quite interesting during the press conference. According to your information, and I would assume this included an interview, if not more than one, one of the officers agreed to testify against the other. So Bronson would testify against Roth. Roth is the man who actually pulled the trigger. But then Don Samuel, Bronson's attorney, told the AJC that his client is not cooperating. Can you clear that discrepancy up?
Well, we interviewed Bronson, I believe, on Tuesday night, or it would have been Monday night. We mm-hmm. interviewed him. We received a statement from him, and I spoke with Don Samuels on Wednesday, shortly before the presentation took place. So we stand by our representation, and I'm just going to wait to see what happens as we move forward. But, Rashad, we stand by the statements that we made at that time. I imagine, now this is just speculation because I don't know exactly this to be true, but you can imagine that Mr. Bronson might be getting a lot of pressure. And I think maybe what we've heard might be the result of that pressure.
I'm here with Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard. His office has obtained arrest warrants for both officers involved in the death of Rayshard Brooks. Those officers have until 6 p.m. tonight to turn themselves in. Let's talk about what we may not have seen in the video. Let's talk about the picture that you produced of Mr. Roth kicking Mr. Brooks while he was struggling for his life, and also the charge of basically failure to render aid. Those seem to be aggravators of the initial offense. Talk to us about those charges and typically what those charges would carry under the law.
We received information from a witness who was there on the scene who told us that he saw Officer Roth kicking Mr. Brooks while he laid there on the ground. We got a copy of an interview with that witness, and then we received a videotape, and I don't think that videotape has been displayed to the public as of yet. And so we reviewed the sequence that the witness alluded to. And in that sequence, you could see the action that we displayed in the still photograph. And so that is how we were able to determine that the kicking took place. As a result of that, we then examined the tape a little closer, and we discovered that you could also see the other officer, Brosnan, that he was standing on Mr. Brooks. And when we examined the tape, it was clear that he was standing on him on two separate occasions during the incident. He stood on him, and then he removed himself, moved around to another position, and stood on him again. And so that is what led us to that charge. With respect to the medical attention, the city of Atlanta requires the police department, through their regulations that are called SOPs, that what the officers have to do is to render immediate medical attention. So what we did is we timed it, we looked at it, and we noticed that rather than them applying some medical attention, that they were kicking or standing on him. They were saying some things to him. We were not able to determine exactly what they were doing, but we did not see any rendering of any medical attention as the city required. And then after some time had passed, then they decided to retrieve some instrument from a car, and then they started to provide the medical attention. And so that is the why we charged them. They are charged as for violating their oath of office, and that crime has a possible sentence of from 1 to 5 years.
Okay. We got more on the other side. We're coming to a quick commercial break. I have District Attorney Paul Howard, Fulton County. He has just obtained arrest warrants for both officers involved in the death of Rayshard Brooks. Those officers have until 6 p.m. to turn themselves in to authorities. If they do not turn themselves in, it is likely that a fugitive squad will have to go get them. We have more on the other side. You're getting real with the Realest Man on radio, the Rashad Richard Morning Show. What's happening? Welcome back. I'm here with the Fulton County District Attorney, Paul Howard. His office has obtained arrest warrants for both officers involved in the shooting death of Rayshard Brooks. They have until 6 p.m. today to turn themselves in to authorities. One officer, Roth, is being recommended no bond. He's the man who actually pulled the trigger. The DA's office is recommending no bond on that charge. Mr. Howard, thank you for remaining with us today.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about some of the criticism you have received for actually charging officers. And I want to say this before I ask the question. Fulton County, before all of this happened, Fulton County, your DA's office, has been the leading DA's office in the United States as far as prosecuting cops. So this is not a new thing for your office. Let's talk about the political back and forth about you being too political in this moment by charging these cops. What do you say to that criticism?
Well, Rashad, I would say that if we had not in the past charged officers, if we had not moved in the realm of other lawyers in our country trying to get changes in the way that these cases are processed, then I think that criticism would be fair. But as you pointed out, we've been prosecuting officers since 2002. We started with the case of Corey Ward, and I believe our records show that this is the 39th case, I believe, or the 40th case that we've been involved in. People have criticized us because we asked for arrest warrants prior to an indictment. This would mark the fourth time that we have done this. We did it in 2016 in a case that involved another Atlanta officer, James Burns. We did it again in 2018 with an East Point officer whose name was Richard Godine. And, of course, we did it in the case that involved the two Atlanta, the two Morehouse and Spelman students who were tased. And now, because of the evidence that was available to us, we have moved forward. So I don't think it's political at all. I think what people might not understand is things are changing. And I believe what the public is saying is we'd like to move at a faster pace. And one of the things that makes us able to move at a faster pace is the video surveillance, the body cams and the dash cams. And when we can get those things, it allows us to move at a much faster pace.
Yesterday, I started receiving text messages from members of Atlanta City Council. And members of council were telling me that officers were not coming into work. One councilman actually said that he believed some officers literally were not responding to 911 calls. The Atlanta Police Department released a tweet, and it said and I quote, earlier suggestions that multiple officers from each zone had walked off the job were inaccurate. The department is experiencing a higher than usual number of call outs with the incoming shift. We have enough resources to maintain operations and remain able to respond to incidents. You know, and I know some officers decided not to protect and serve because they don't like these charges, or they don't like the culture of policing changing. What do you say to that?
Well, this is something that we are witnessing all over the country, as you know. You know, we saw it happen in Buffalo. We've seen it happen before in many other police departments. It's troubling that officers would abandon a post simply because they did not believe that someone should be prosecuted. But what I believe is now people are beginning to see in full display the sort of problems that are inherent in the criminal justice system. When we see the problems, I think it's important for people to move to do something about it, because it is ridiculous to think that simply because some officer leaves that we're going to stop prosecuting officers if they commit a crime. The questions that we have to ask ourselves is, why would they leave? The mayor had already terminated Officer Ross. The charges that we brought against Brosnan, the other officer, he admitted that he was standing on the body of Mr. Brooks. And so I would ask the question, why would they abandon their post at the time? If it appears that they simply did it because of the legal process, then we've got some work to do in our community. I'm confident that at this juncture of time, we should examine all of the ramifications, and we ought to start fixing the problems on a permanent basis.
I find it interesting that officers take an oath. They are paid taxpayer dollars to protect and serve the community. The blue shirt is not really the community. They are there to protect and serve. They are there to protect and serve everyday people, the people who are listening to this program. They are there to protect and serve you. And I wondered when I heard this last night, Mr. DA, I said, I wonder how many times a good cop, decent cop, I don't know, a cop with somewhat of a bad record, I just wonder how many times a cop saw a citizen accosted or saw a citizen arrested or saw a citizen's rights violated and they cringed on the inside. They didn't like it. They said, you know what? That's not a good thing to do. I hate that you did that to the citizen. They went home. They prayed about it, talked to their wife, or the wife talked to the husband, or whatever. Right. They didn't like what they saw at work, and they didn't like how a citizen was treated. But they went to work the next day. They got up in the morning and they still went to work the next day. A citizen being violated in a way that they don't agree with will not cause them to leave the job, but a charge in a criminal justice system that by oath they say they believe in will cause them to no longer serve the citizens they took an oath to serve is baffling to me.
It is baffling. It presents a contradiction. But, Rashad, what it does, it clearly shows what people in the community have been saying and what they've been feeling for a long time. What people say to me is they simply don't trust police in many respects. And you got to ask yourself the question, why would they trust someone who would abandon his job under these circumstances? I know a lot of great policemen. My brother was a policeman. I live on the street with the police chief. He is a good friend of mine, and I know he is honestly trying to do a good job. What we are going to have to do is not stick our heads in the sand, and we've got to understand that there has got to be a fundamental change in the way that policing is conducted, because otherwise you cannot explain in a rational way why someone that you paid to protect you would simply leave because the same person who paid him to do it decided to discipline that officer.
Are you in fear for your life?
No, I'm not in fear of my life. I guess I've taken the Barack Obama approach that, you know, if somebody's going to get you, they're going to get you. I'm a Christian. I'm a praying man, and I ask for the protection of the Lord. So I am not going to be intimidated or limited in any way by any fear for my own safety.
I have a good friend of mine who's a former police chief in one of our surrounding cities. And he did something quite similar where he would hold his police officers significantly accountable. Okay. And a lot of it was based on video evidence. And this was during a time when video evidence was emerging as basically the tell all. It was the truth you went to when stories did not match up. And he received a lot of criticism from across the country because his actions to protect and serve and to hold cops accountable to the community, his actions created criticism because he actually held cops accountable. Have you received any death threats, extreme criticism because of your actions in Fulton County?
Yes, I have received threats. If you look at some websites today, there's some very unflattering things that that people say about me. But, you know, that's part of the job. It's part of the change that is taking place. We have existed in the same system for so many years, and we have not changed that system. Now, during this period of time, because of the inspection, the light that has been shown on some of the conduct, you can sense there's a wind of change that's going on, and it makes a lot of people very uncomfortable. And because maybe they see me as an instrument of that change, their reaction is to attempt to threaten and intimidate. But I'm accustomed to it. I don't like it. I mean, it's not something that I welcome, but I will not move away from working with our community to bring about some significant change.
You met with the family of Rayshard Brooks, something that is pretty typical when you have a victim, a family connected to the victim. What was your conversation like with the family of Rayshard Brooks?
I went out on Saturday morning to meet with them, and I have to say, Mrs. Miller, the wife of Mr. Brooks, she was still very much in shock. She couldn't understand what had gone on. She reported to me that no one had come by to notify her that her husband, first of all, was in the hospital receiving medical treatment. She didn't get a call from the hospital. No one from the city came by to let her know that. She only found out when the GBI showed up to interview her. So she was very disenchanted by that process. So while I was talking to her, she had several members of her family over. And Rashad, I remember it was so clear that her children, she has three small children. I believe the oldest is eight. And they were in the background still playing. They were just laughing and having fun. It's like they didn't realize that what had happened. She said that she had attempted to tell them, but apparently the children hadn't grasped what had gone on. And what I thought about is, during this whole process, I'm just hoping that our community, that people won't take the same kind of flight of travel, that while all of this is going on, that they will simply stand in the background as if it didn't exist. But I know she's hurting, and she is hoping that out of all of this, we will work together to make sure that not one other person is killed by a police officer.
Mr. DA Paul Howard, I appreciate your time today. You've been very generous. I know you have a lot of work to do and we will stay on top of this case and update the listeners on the case continuing. We appreciate your time with us.
Thank you very much, and hopefully we can keep you informed and you can keep me informed. So thank you very much for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you, Mr. DA.
Bye-bye.
All right. Directly from the district attorney himself, he filed these charges because he believed they committed crimes, and he is not scared at all. 404-892-2703. You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio, the Rashad Ridge Morning Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.